it really makes sense at this point. There were some things that were in the original proposal that were really maintenance that we insisted get taken care of by Parks. And what we have now is money that's really dedicated toward preserving the burial grounds. And we feel after a lot of work on the proponents, they've really worked hard to make sure that this. That the money that's being approved is going to be used efficiently and get the maximum done for our for our taxpayers' dollar.
I just want to recognize Marietta Marcatelli, who you just re-voted in as a trustee. Thank you. Who is the co-chair of the Burying Grounds Committee, which is a group of volunteers who sort of keep track of what's going on in the burying grounds. They do cleanups in both the fall and the spring. They monitor the progress of various and sundry things. We've had a plan to restore the burying grounds since 2003, I think we began. And we've been chipping away little by little at the restoration of the burying grounds. They've been around since 1680. So, we're dealing with hundreds of years of deferred maintenance, essentially. And there are three burying grounds. There's the one which is next to National Lumber, which is south. And actually, we finished that last year. We have the one that's across from BC, which is East Parish, and that one. It's on Center and Cotton Streets, and that's what we're asking the money for. That's the oldest one. And then the third one is West. Did I say that already?
No.
West, which is over by the Allen House. I think it's Cherry Street. And we've done considerable work in all of them. We've finished all of the gravestones, but there are tombs. That some of which are open. I mean, if somebody went in, if a little kid was ambitious, they could crawl in or fall in or whatever. And so what we're planning to do with this money is essentially to finish off East Parish, the oldest one, and get the tombs completely done. So that's the plan.
Question? David?
So I just want a little bit more background, if I can,
sure.
To understand. And excuse me if it's morbid, but who was there, or who is there? What specifically would you do to the? I mean, you'd close up the tombs, but what else? I saw what you did at near Needham Street, and I know it was a lot of cleanup, and it looks like the stones look a lot better. I'm just wondering what specifically you do. And then is there access for the public to walk through? Is that part of that? Or
South, because it's finished, we opened it. It is now accessible through the parking lot over by National Lumber. East is open all the time over at Cotton Street. And I think that once we get done, we might make it more visibly open, but it is open right now. And actually, I don't know if they ever came or not, but I know we had BC students that were studying history that were interested in it. I was just thinking, probably you haven't heard too much about this before, because it used to go in front of the CCP committee instead of Programs and Services, and so this is probably your first time out. Well, what they do is, and I'm sorry, I don't have the engineers here because they're better at describing what gets done. But in terms of the tombs, if it's open, they very carefully pour some sand in there to cover if there's any remains or anything, because they don't want to disturb them and they want to stabilize them. And then essentially, we have masons, and they go and they repair the stones, and there are places, a couple of instances, where there are trees sort of growing into the tombstones. In terms of who's there, in the East Parish Burying Ground, there are all kinds of Revolutionary War people. There's the Jackson family monument that is, you know, all the Jacksons are there. The Durants are there. The Kenricks are there. The Fullers.
Kalis.
Who?
Kalis. An old name,
Kalis.
That's over in Moscow.
You know, I don't have it all memorized, but if you look on our website, if you go, Brian probably knows everybody
expert.
Who's
there. Hello. We want your name all the time.
I am a historic relic.
Do you, they want to know who's buried in East Parish.
There are several members of the Richardson family. There may be other people too, but that's the ones I care about.
No, okay.
It's the earliest settlers. And as you go through there, you'll see what look like a lot of street names mashed up.
Right. It was the original, you know, when Minton first broke off from Cambridge, they had to build a meeting house. That's what made it able to stand on its own. And the remains of the meeting house are in that cemetery under the ground.
The monument.
And one,
don't
is
we
it
mark
under
it
the
with
monument?
The monument?
There is a monument, a marker there, the
yeah.
oldest meeting house in Minton.
Right.
Yeah. So a couple of years ago, the senior preservation planner went in and used ground-penetrating radar to ascertain exactly where this was and, you know, made a plan and I don't know, that's kind of cool. So, I was going to say, if you go to our website, if you click on the burying ground and then you click on East Parish, the whole list will come down. And I brought everything but those, frankly. Sorry.
That's great. Any other questions? Allison?
I was just thinking, I think those old cemeteries are beautiful and they're a great resource, and I'm really glad to hear that they're being restored. And I hope that once they're restored, we can have more activities there, maybe use them as a historical resource,
yeah.
Or have walks as part of like the new conservators.
We actually do walks in there. We have a summer program it's called Historic Newton Walks, and every other Sunday we have this historical walk, and some of them are in the burying ground.
I know, like Lucy Caldwell Stair has done walks for the new conservators, and also
she's on our board.
She's on your board
and just got. Reapproved to be on our board.
And I just, they wanted to need the cemetery, the burial ground in Newton Street. It has the most gorgeous, huge white pine. Every time I drive by there, it's a kind of a, some of these old cemeteries have some wonderful large trees.
They're probably destroying the tombs.
maybe they are, but.
They're
wonderful.
Well, that's part of this work is making sure that invasion stops.
Ted?
So I've been on the board long enough to remember both the Aldermanic Committee on Community Preservation and also the first time, and Brian I'm sure remembers it too, the first time we started approving funds for the historic burial grounds and making sure that we had, first of all, a plan and then started doing the work. And I also worked on the CPA campaign, and frankly this is one of the uses I wanted to see it for in terms of historic preservation. It doesn't get on the CIP as having a high priority because
it's at the bottom.
Yeah, because it's not a building falling down or it's not going to cause harm to somebody.
The people are already dead.
Yeah, they're right. So they just don't speak up. So
we're afraid of that.
Yeah, so I'm more than happy to do the approval for this because I think this is CPA was meant to do other things that the city just can't do as part of it or won't do as part of its capital plan.
Dick?
Yeah, Cindy had a couple of questions on this. You try to get a grant from Mass Historical for $50,000.
Yeah.
If you don't get it, will you come back for more money? Or
We will do less on this project. We will eventually come back for more money.
Yeah.
Because we have the other burying grounds to finish.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see this get done. I know even I haven't gone that long, but I remember this point just being dragged along. And again, the only other question I have is you have to go off the public bidding for work on this?
Yes.
So, we don't know exactly what those bids are going to be, so we, or do you have an idea that's going to fit into this?
We had $60,000 left over from the last one we did. So we made a list of all the ones, the tombs that needed to be done, and we put it out for public bid. We were only able to do a couple of them. I don't remember, two or three, because that's what the 60, maybe 50, $60,000 would cover. But that gave us numbers on all the rest.
Okay.
So we've got a breakdown from other public bids, and that's what I use to determine the numbers here.
Right, good, because she meant to get this done finally. You know, I'm sure you
lay it to rest.
I think it would be fabulous.
Yeah.
And I mean, one of our intentions is that once everything is, or maybe not even, but when a burying ground is done, then we can start doing interpretation. You know, we have a little brochure for East Parish that we're planning on putting up on our website that you can print out. But eventually, and we'll need to find money, and CPA, I don't think, funds this. We'd like to put, you know, some wayside signs in the burying ground.
That's for the historic. Didn't we do that for the historic district's
project?
Yeah, the planning department did.
Small sign as part of the project, yes. Education should say no.
Oh.
So you have to be careful about that gray area.
Vicki, you have a question?
Cindy, you mentioned that there are some other burial grounds. Is that in addition to these three?
No, not the overseen.
Okay, so these are the three that you're talking about.
West, south, and east.
So Ted has already had a motion to approve.
Second.
Is it a vote? It is unanimous.
Only good Wednesday.
Karen, where does this go to?
Public safety.
Sorry, Alice.
Where will recreate?
Sorry.
At their next meeting, I would say. I don't know.
Monday. Okay. Because I'm out of the country, as I emailed you and Shauna, so I'm just asking the board staff to make sure that the two CPC officers and Cindy know about that next date, because I won't be here.
I'll talk to Shauna about it. We'll get it coordinated. Okay. Thanks, Alice.
So Monday in finance.
Thanks, everyone.
Perhaps, yeah.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you.
I was asking for your
Thank you.
Thank you.
So the last item of the night is... Well, save it. But the docket item 60-14, His Honor the Mayor and the Health and Human Services Commission is Zalesnik and Alderman Rice, Alderman Schwartz, Alderman Larry, Alderman Haney, and Alderman Danberg proposing amendments to the Chapter 20 to include and regulate nicotine delivery products such as e-cigarettes in the same manner as tobacco products, prohibit use of nicotine delivery products in places where use of tobacco products is prohibited, to regulate the sale of tobacco products and nicotine delivery products contain flavoring other than regular or menthol, to increase the minimum age to purchasing tobacco and nicotine delivery products to 21, to further regulate signage and to regulate in minimum cigar pricing and packaging blunt wrappers and roll-your-own machines. And we have Doris Lesnick, who is going to be presenting the setup. And the reason we are back here with this docket item was that Alderman Lennon wanted to divide up this item into five different items, but it was voted. Do we have the vote of what it was voted out of committee programs and services before?
They were both. We put it in two different sections, just the age and then everything else. They were both approved by. Age was pretty much unanimous, I think, or maybe one was against or two were against. And then
the other one was a little.
Oh, you're right.
There were a couple of dissensions.
Yeah. So the reason this is back in Programs and Services Committee. Alderman Lennon, instead of we had divided this item up into two items, he wanted to divide the item up into five items. And so now, instead of trying to do it on the floor of the board, we're back in committee discussing how to deal, first to divide it, this item in, up into five items, and also how to go forward with this item. So, with the, you know, Dory would like to speak first, and I'd like to get a consensus on the committee about what direction, about what things we want to vote on tonight, and what things we want to hold out for potentially comments in the future, or anything else.
So, just a couple of things to say. One thing, though I am no longer the Health and Human Services Commissioner, Linda is entirely on board on this, but I said I would continue to spearhead it because I feel very strongly about all of this. We believed that this made a coherent set of ordinances to put into place to add to what's already an extremely robust tobacco ordinance. And I think the city has been very forward-looking in its relationship with tobacco, and I would hope that the board would continue that tradition. Everything that we put on here was designed to be ways to keep tobacco, nicotine, addiction away from kids. And there was no intent to harm retailers, but there's reasonable information that when the age is increased, the rates of smoking go down. There is reasonable information that suggests that e-cigarette use is skyrocketing, particularly among kids. And I don't think it's a big leap of faith to say that once hooked to nicotine, which happens even more rapidly with e-products than cigarettes, because the amount of nicotine is not regulated. And when people put their own in, you can have as much as a pack of cigarettes worth of nicotine in one e-cigarette. So the addiction happens very fast. I don't think it's a big leap of faith to say that kids who don't have as much expendable money as other people will go to tobacco products when they find that the e-cigarettes are much more expensive, which they are. And the CDC has some data to suggest that that's actually happening, that people are using both, especially kids. So we are trying to promote no nicotine addiction for the next generation of youth, and we feel like this whole set of ordinance changes would help to accomplish that. I know there's been some interest in the fact that the FDA is potentially taking up some aspects of e-cigarettes, so we included, hopefully you got in your packet, a description of what the FDA timetable would be likely to be like, and it's very long, and how most of the things that we're focusing on would actually not be part of what they would do. The few things that they might actually comment on, like flavoring, if we got rid of it, prospective to their getting rid of it, there would be no problem than just being in concert with their recommendations. But most of the things that they regulate are things like packaging, labeling, other sorts of things that we don't have anything to do with. I guess the one last thing I would say that's a little bit different from when we were last here, there's starting to be a literature questioning how safe these e-products actually are and how safe vaping is. And there's nothing that's definitive, but it reminds me greatly of the kinds of things that were being described in the 1950s about, well, we don't know for sure how bad tobacco is, when the companies knew how bad it was, but were not forthcoming. This industry is being regulated and promoted by the tobacco companies. And even some of the documents that you actually got via email were from organizations like RAI that don't disclose that they're tobacco promoted, but they are. These folks are making a fortune, and they will continue to make a fortune off of, unfortunately, our unsuspecting kids until somebody steps in, and they're not likely to step in until it's definitively proven that this stuff is bad. But there is starting to be, there are other things in the e-products besides nicotine. And one of them, at high heat, converts to formaldehyde, which is not good for you. So I think that over time, there will be more and more data emerging to suggest that these things may not be as good for you as promoted. So I would hope that the committee would vote these things out again and let the full board vote.
Ted?
So, I mean, I would really much rather that the Board of Health just regulated this rather than have us pass something that we might have to change later, because I don't know that the science is as clear as other people think it is. But that said, I know how this is going to come out in the end. I don't know why the President of the Board wanted to split it up into five items. Don't really care. But I'm glad to move all of them, even though I'm going to vote against the age restriction, because I think, frankly, you know, Needham raised their age, Newton didn't. We both have the same percentage decrease in the number of kids smoking, and same increase is going on with the e-cigarettes. So I'm just, and I've got three kids myself, and I just know what they're like. Frankly, maybe I'm just jaded, but I just don't think it'll make any difference. That's the only reason I'm voting against that. But I think the rest of it, I mean, let's just move it along. And if people on the floor of the board want to divide it up and vote different ways on each different one, that's fine with me, but let's just stick a fork in it. I think we're done.
Okay. David?
I agree. I want this to pass all five of these. My question, my concern is on four and five. They're just very open-ended, and I'm worried that once they get to the floor, there's going to be debate over what does that mean to further regulate signage.
Oh, well, this is only like shorthand for what it is. So this is to put up smoking cessation advice signs, which are available from the state but are not required. So it's an additional measure to say to people, if you want to quit, here's a quit line that you can call, stuff like that.
Okay.
And the minimum cigar pricing, we do find that kids, because the tiny cigars that sort of look like cigarettes can be as cheap as 49 cents. They do get consumed. They don't have as much nicotine as a cigarette, but still, they're tobacco products. They're not good for you. And by increasing the price, in other situations, when you increase the price, you decrease the consumption.
It's like selling a joint instead of a nickel bag. Not that I know any.
Allison?
So I also would move to support all these. I voted for them the first time. I intend to vote for them again. My only question is, you know, reading some of the emails that I've been getting, there was some talk about whether a public hearing would be required, and I wanted to know if that was...
It's not required.
No, so it's not required.
Okay.
You can take public comment. We had a conference call with some folks from Providence, which sort of led the way with some regulations similar to these today. And we asked what kinds of things had been brought up in opposition when they were bringing their stuff forward. And it was similar to the sorts of things that I know you've read in emails, like small businesses would be adversely impacted, and since people could go to another community, although many of our surrounding communities are actually doing this. So Brookline just voted to go up to 21. Cambridge has something where they're considering it. Needham obviously did it a long time ago. Waltham is thinking about it. So a number of communities...
And Watertown's 19, right?
Watertown is 19. So, you know, so that's one of the things that people talk about. The flavoring has been discussed as a negative, that we would be harming the small retailers. People have also said we'd be harming those who want to use it as a smoking cessation device. But the fact is, you could still get tobacco-flavored and menthol e-cigarettes anywhere if you were over 21, if you passed these series of things. You would be able to buy flavored products if you were over 21 at the specialty tobacco or e-product retailers, because they're grandfathered. And we put into the revised ordinances before you that, at your suggestion, and it was a good one, that parents would be able to purchase e-cigarettes, including flavored, for their kids if they wanted their kid to be using it to stop smoking. So there's a thing that says you can't buy it to give to someone else, but we excluded parents. So parents who decided they wanted to give it to their kid could do it.
Just one other point, kind of on that line. One of the letters that I read today had to do with that point about the state of Massachusetts and how they, the laws, and that parents are allowed to let their children have tobacco products. And it said something about it allows minors to buy cigarettes, which I was totally perplexed about.
Well, one thing, the way that Boston has some ordinances and some public health regulations around tobacco and these sorts of things. And my understanding is, and I don't know that it's been tested in court, is that in general you can apply the most restrictive measures over things that where local control is allowed. So in this case, if we put in 21, even though that's not state law, 21 would be applied here in New
York. Right.
So is there any other questions from other aldermen? Ted?
I guess my only question goes to whether we need another public comment. I thought we did that earlier.
Well, I believe we did, because it was here in committee two different nights.
I mean, I'm just skeptical. I mean, I know the people who still have concerns, yeah. and they're more than welcome to write to us and to communicate with us directly. I'm not sure what having another public hearing or a couple of public comment is gonna advance the ball at all, because I was a little surprised that it was broken into five pieces, but so be it. I don't think we're gonna hear anything different. So unless anybody else really feels strongly about it, I'd rather just move forward.
I agree with you on that as well. Does Dick?
Yeah, I just a couple things. I agree with that completely. This whole thing's very interesting. Because all these emails we're getting are from national organizations.
Yeah. NATO.
Yeah.
North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
Wow. Right. Or Reynolds Tobacco Company. And they, you know, you see how they work. It's very upsetting to me, because what they're saying, for instance, that we don't have the right to do it because the FDA is going to handle it. It's been completely rejected by the First Circuit in appeals court in Massachusetts, federal court, because the FDA hasn't done anything yet, and by the time they get it done, it's going to be challenged in court. It's going to take years and years and years. So there was a specious argument they were saying. The idea about the e-cigarettes, people saying, well, you know, I'm trying to get off addiction of cigarettes, so I'm going to get e-cigarettes. To me, that's another specious argument. The fact is that maybe e-cigarettes will help you get off nicotine if you're a heavy smoker, but e-cigarettes are trying to hook people at a young age and get them on hooked on nicotine. So that argument, I think, is totally twisted. The argument that some people are going to lose business because they won't be able to sell the product in Newton, and that they go to other towns, as Dory said, the other towns, number one, are doing what we're doing, or have already done it. And even if it was true, it doesn't mean we should be, you know, following that, because other towns may decide not to do it. I mean, we have to do what's right for this city, and if people can go to another town and get, that's not, unfortunately, we can't stop that. But, you know, I have yet to find one solid argument in what the tobacco industry is saying. And this is exactly what happened back in the 50s and the 60s, when they were trying to prohibit, you know, saying on a cigarette package, these are harmful to your health. They had their own scientists saying that it wasn't addictive, it wasn't unhealthy. You know, every doctor I knew around here was, you know, including my father, he's saying, don't have cigarettes, you know, they lead to cancer, they can lead to cancer. This ain't it's like climate change here now. You know, the climate change deniers are the same thing, it's not happening. You know, no matter what you do, you're not going to be able to change this. So, you know, I want to move this. I think, you know, it was really put together well by the executive office. I think I don't want any more public hearings. Let's just get this over with and move it on. And I think it will be passed, and we can, you know, get this, you know, as an ordinance.
Greg?
So, yeah, thank you. Alderman Rice. So at the risk of just repeating a couple things, I do want to speak on this because I've been working this issue for like 20 years, and I can't tell you how many times these same arguments that are, as Dick has said, are somewhat specious have been raised against tobacco, reasonable tobacco regulations. You know, whether it's the effect on retailers, whether it's the, you know, kids are going to smoke anyway, whether it's, you know, it's lighter, so it's less tar, so it's actually better for people to shift to, you know, low tar cigarettes. You know, and you know, there's always a fingerprint of the tobacco companies in these objections. You know, back in 1992, I can tell you, I worked on this, and Philip Morris went so far as to sponsor a tour of the U.S. Bill of Rights to all 50 states to promote this idea that it's a liberty thing. And I was actually really happy to be part of this group that was actually working with tobacco control advocates all around the country.
They actually got naming rights for the Bill of Rights. RJR Bill of Rights.
In every state, which actually followed this, used it as an opportunity to point out that it actually was not a liberty, it was an addiction. They took actually the Statue of Liberty around. They called it the Statue of Nicotina, and she was in chains. And they used it for media around every single stop. And it actually was very effective. So I'll just say that, you know, that's really what, you know, this was proposed not by me, not by you, John, but it was proposed by the Health Council that advises the Health Commissioner. And it was proposed as a comprehensive plan with these five elements because you need to get at it from all these different angles to be successful. And so I certainly support the comments that have been made that we should move all five of these, get them back to the board, and we can discuss it there if people want to try to cut it up, but I don't think that that's wise. And just I'll finish with one just comment. I got to say that as a practicing physician, I deal with not just nicotine addiction, but other addictions all the time, and it's always regretful when people are always regretful when they say I should never have started. So the best approach to this, the best public health prevention is prevent the start. And we know there are studies that have shown that if kids don't start by age 19, they will not start at a later time. It's much lower, you know. So when I was 18, I felt like the whole alcohol thing was unfair because it had just been raised to 21, and I thought this was unfair. But, you know, at this point in time, you can't drink until you're 21. We have students in the high school who might be close to 19, or their friends might be. There's a rationale here by the Health Council that we should raise it to 21. That's why our surrounding communities are doing it. I certainly feel that that's a very important part of this program, and I hope that we'll all support that when we get to the board.
So, Emily.
Just to make myself really unpopular, I am very anti cigarettes and anti-tobacco, but I did hear what I felt were compelling stories from some of the public that were here at the hearing about how they were using e-cigarettes to keep themselves from smoking real cigarettes, and that I found compelling. I do have concerns about the impact of small businesses selling legal products to adults, so I'm going to abstain from everything but the age 21 piece.
Oh, sorry, Lyle has a...
Just to her question, if Dory could just respond on whether people will still be able to get e-cigarettes.
Yes, Dory.
Yes, come to word one.
Yeah, but I get that, but only at the vaping.
The flavored
ones. They'll be able to get e-cigarettes everywhere else.
But even though, I mean, I've heard people wanting
the flavor.
I mean, I found that compelling and having a bunch of smokers in my family. Anything, if this would help them and making it easier for them to not have to go, God forbid, to Ward 1.
There was a study that's been fairly highly touted in the last week or so, suggesting that e-cigarettes were better for smoking, for quitting than other products. A number of people have called into question the validity of that study because it was short term, it was self-reporting efficacy, and more importantly, contrary to very many other studies that are out there, they found that cold turkey was better than other smoking aids like patch, etc. Nobody else has found that, and so that then leads one to wonder about whether this is actually a true finding or not. So there'll be end up being more studies, but it would surprise me if getting people more addicted to nicotine actually was a way to quit anything other than perhaps actively smoking tobacco.
Before he died of lung cancer, my uncle would have told you it's easy to quit. You did it 1,000 times.
No, believe me, I have many in my family who are suffering that. I get that.
Lyle?
Well, I'm struck by Greg's comment about the liberty interest. I mean, I grew up in a state that made its living on price. Tobacco versus bourbon.
I don't think those last two are vice versa.
Isn't that Newton? Isn't that Newton Highland?
This seems like another state, that's all. But no, I'm going to abstain simply because I would have wanted to hear the conversation fully to make an informed vote, but I'll listen to the look at the report. But I just want to say that in general, I'm sympathetic to the objective and would be disposed to vote for it, but I just, as a matter of fairness to the process, I'm going to abstain. But that's the only reason I'm not going to be counted here.
Okay. Vicki?
I'm not going to repeat what everyone else has said. I associate myself with the people who are in accord with what we're doing here. And the only couple of added things that I would say are that I did check into the dental issue, and there has been at least one study where bone grafts have failed among smokers, and they suspect that nicotine is the reason and not the other things that are in cigarette smoke. E-cigarettes are too new for a study to have been done. So it's not conclusive, but it's suspected. But smokers if you want to have a bone graft and you smoke, they don't bother because the incidence of rejection is so high. Several weeks ago, I was having lunch working in my office in Brooklyn, and I was having lunch in Nick's Cafe on Beacon Street in Washington, and two young people came in and sat at the table next to us and pulled out this device and started vaping. And then the young man, it was a young man and a young woman, the young man was too young to have any facial hair, and he was obviously to me, a high school kid. He had purchased or been given or whatever this device, and I think that I remember Dory saying that because you can't regulate yet the amount of nicotine that goes into e-cigarette individual smoking packets, they put up to 20 times the amount of nicotine in one as they do in regular cigarettes. So it's like smoking an entire pack of nicotine again. And so I strongly feel that also keeping cigarettes difficult to get for people until they get out of the school and college environment where they're with their peers, you're still a kid when you're in school, and when you get out and get your first job, life is different and the world is different. And you don't live in that sorority, fraternity, dormitory, party atmosphere where peer pressure is so strong. So I agree with the, associate my comments with those who would like to go with the whole
process. So any other comments before we take a vote? I believe that we all have Alderman Lennon's breakdown of how he wants to do it, so I presume we're going to do docket item 60-14, parens 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and then we'll have individual votes on all five items.
Do they coordinate to the ABCDE?
Yeah. Okay. That was, yeah, sorry.
No, sorry.
Okay, so what's it? So I've already read the docket item in. So docket item 60-14, parens 1 would be a vote on to prohibit the use of nicotine delivery products in places where use of tobacco products is prohibited. So is there a vote on item number 1?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve. Alderman Kalis?
Well, I vote to all of them.
Okay.
Well, I'm abstaining.
Okay. That's it?
So you're...
Yeah, so five yes, no no's, and 2 abstentions.
Or abstentions. You don't
abstain.
Emily,
yes.
You're abstaining.
Okay. Just call it out. Who's
okay, sorry.
All in favor of opposed?
Yeah,
so Karen.
So, but
I thought you're not voting against the age?
No, we're going item by item.
Isn't that the first one?
The first one was delivery products with tobacco products is prohibited. So, but it's 5 in favor, no opposed, and 2 abstentions. This is docket item 60-14, parens 2, to regulate the sale of tobacco products.
Not to be a stinker. Yeah. It's actually supposed to be, Lyle, correct me if I'm wrong, it's the docket number, and then parens 2 is the second.
It's not a parens, actually, at all. It's just say section.
Just
yeah,
okay.
Section A,
I just
section
want to make
B.
Sure we're all...
Do they section B or section 2?
So
section B,
yeah,
okay.
You can ignore the numbers.
We get the numbers, okay. Okay, so this is docket item 60-14, section B, to regulate the sale of products, nicotine delivery products, but that containing flavor other than regular menthol. So is there a motion?
Yes.
Motion to approve by Alderman Hess-Mahan. Is there a vote?
All in favor.
But then we have 4, so
five.
We have 5 in favor and 2 abstentions. This is docket item 60-14, paragraph C, to increase the minimum age of purchasing tobacco nicotine delivery products to 21. Is there a motion? Motion to approve by Alderman Leary. We have,
this is just 5. Great age.
Item number 60-14, item D, to further regulate signage. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion to approve. So, it's 5. But sorry, 5-0-1-2. Okay, the last item with the 60-14, section E, to regulate minimum cigar pricing and packaging, blunt wrappers, and roll-your-own machines. Is there a motion?
So moved.
So moved.
Alderman Leary, motion to approve. So what's it, it is?
5 in favor.
5 in favor, and two opposed, 2 abstentions. So, but that, so this will be within the next scheduled board meeting.
Excellent.
So, but that, is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Okay.
Thank you.